Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, in this episode 214. I hope everyone had a good Halloween. Brian, how has your last week been?
It's been pretty busy, actually. Work's been picking up on my end. I think people are trying to, you know, squeeze in their last minute projects by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everyone's getting ready and eager to, you know, go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But, you know, on the business side, people are like, no, you can't do that. Here's a bunch of work. So that's basically what I've been doing. I've been actually, for the first time in like multiple years, I've been like working more than my standard like 8-hour days. I've been like staying a little bit later. You know, I know it's nothing compared to what you've been through, Mary, but it's been tiring for me. And then it doesn't help that, you know, the weather's turning. It's turning dark.
It's daylight savings time this weekend, though, so we get an extra hour.
Okay. I need that because, you know, I wake up in the morning, I go to the bus, and it's pitch black.
Yeah.
And that, it's just not fun.
Yeah. But, back in my day when I used to work in an office, I barely saw the light at all in the winter because my desk was never near a window. So I was like, and it was hard to go outside like during lunch because it was usually raining.
Oh, right. Right.
So yeah.
In your day. Yep.
Yeah. Back and now I sit next to a window at my home office desk.
There you go. You can get as much sunlight as Seattle provides.
Yes. Which is still not that much. I brought up my happy lamp today.
Oh, that's
beginning
good.
Of a long season of using the happy lamp to get just, you know, hopefully bring in some sunshine into my body.
yeah that stuff works. Hopefully you're happy.
Yep. Let's see, for me, work has not been as busy as yours, so I've been working my normal amount. But last Thursday, so a few days before Halloween, they had a virtual pumpkin carving like class. Basically, they worked with a company called Maniac Pumpkin Carvers, which they do like insane pumpkin carvings. They do it like year round. They do it for like businesses and stuff like that. So they're professional pumpkin carvers, which I did not know was a thing. My company sent whoever wanted to could get a pumpkin carving set mailed to them. And then I went and bought a pumpkin. And then for an hour last Thursday, we all carved our pumpkins together on Google Meet. And there was a guy who was like giving us tips and tricks. He told us the history of the jack-o'-lantern, history of, you know, pumpkin carving, right, stuff like that. I did a more simple pumpkin, but it was still the most advanced pumpkin I've ever carved in my life. So had that for a good few days. Then on Halloween, I was like, I need to get rid of this. And it was only like 5 days and there was so much mold in it. I know that's gross, but I mean, I guess usually you put a pumpkin outside, but I don't have an outside space to put a pumpkin in my apartment. So it's just been sitting in the warm, nice, cozy, warm apartment for 5 days. The
yeah. Mold but that's is what just it was. Brewing. Yeah. Yeah. Usually you put your pumpkins outside and it's chilly outside. So there's probably less mold, but
yeah. So I literally ran to the trash room with that pumpkin because it was so disgusting.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad you're, were you able to get it down the chute or what did you do?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there like a chute for those buildings?
There is. It was big enough.
Oh, my God. It must have splattered at the bottom. Very.
Yeah. Well, what am I supposed to do? That's how you take out the trash here.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just hope no one was under there. I know. People don't put their heads under the trash.
Yeah, a person's not ever going to be sitting under there.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So that was, you know, the excitement last week, I'd say. Then on Friday, actually, you and I watched the first Gonzaga game of the season. It was an exhibition game. It was on pay-per-view, which is weird. We had to pay $10 to watch it. I mean, honestly, it was better than having it be on like Root Sports because I don't get Root Sports either. So I guess it's fine to have to pay $10. We'll talk about the whole episode's going to be about Gonzaga basketball. But the pay-per-view was weird to me, because the coaches and the refs were like mic'd up and like middle of the game, they were interviewing them. Like Mark Few is watching the game, trying to do his job and
trying to coach his team. Right.
They're like asking him questions about the upcoming season, about whatever. And he's like, first of all, Mark Few doesn't like interviews ever, but I would guarantee he doesn't even like them between the halves. So I guarantee he did not like it while the game was happening. I know it was an exhibition, all of that, but I was very confused. Towards the end of the game, one of the announcers went up in the stands and interviewed Drew Timmy's parents. It was weird.
And yeah, I was going to say, I liked it when they mic'd up the ref.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, are we going to heal this poor guy? You know, these refs, like, sometimes are not like the youngest guys out there. They're like middle-aged. So they're probably huffing and puffing already.
I mean, they're running as fast.
I'm sure they're, you know, trained and everything, but still they're not as young as the basketball players. They still have to run up and down the court with the basketball.
Right.
And I was just waiting to hear some huffing and puffing, but I guess they only turned the mic on for the ref when it was like a dead ball. And one of the players was like, why'd you call a foul on me? And he's like, because you hit him.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's the interaction between the players and the refs. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, I know that they sometimes have mic'd up like football players and NFL and like stuff like that, but they never interviewed them in the middle of the game. They didn't interview any of the players in the middle of the game, but you know, it was still weird to interview the coaches while the game was ongoing. So yeah, I guess we'll just jump right into the first two games. Both of them have been exhibition games so far. So this one that we've been talking about was against Tennessee, and it was last Friday. I was not aware of this before the game, but both coaches had agreed that there was going to be no fouling out. And so,
oh, yeah.
Drew Timmy got like three fouls, maybe four fouls right away, like very quickly in the first half. And then he eventually got to five fouls, and I'm like, okay, he's going out. He fouled out, but he remained in the game. I was like, what's going on? Brian's like, maybe they don't know. I'm like, if we know, I'm pretty sure that at least someone in that arena is going to realize that he has five fouls.
Yeah.
But yeah, later on, I read in an article that both coaches had agreed. That was something they did not cover in any of the coaches interviews. I was not aware. I was very confused why Drew Timmy continued to play.
Yeah, and none of the announcers like even bothered to tell anyone.
Well, at least that we heard. Maybe yeah, yeah. Missed it.
That's true.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we lost this game. But again, who cares? Exhibition game. This is the biggest exhibition game I think we've ever played. It was against Tennessee with their number 11. It was played in a neutral site in Frisco, Texas. The first half, honestly, was very even. Yes. By the end of the first half, Gonzaga was ahead by 4. It was 50-54. And then, you know, we just kind of slowly fell apart in the second half.
Yeah, the first bit of the second half, we were still like close back and forth, but like the last half of the second half, so like the last quarter of the game, we kind of just didn't we didn't keep up with Tennessee. Tennessee kept on scoring, and then we just stopped scoring more, or scored at a slower rate.
No, really, though, because it's exactly that, because Tennessee scored 49 in the second half and we scored 26. So exactly almost half of what they scored. At one point we were behind by like 19 points. I mean, the final score was 80-99. Yeah. So we lost by 19, but I was like, how did this even happen? We just kind of fell apart. We were seriously so even the first 3/4 of the game. It was kind of crazy. But our top scorer was Drew Timmy, even though he had five fouls, he kept playing. And then Anton Watson had 10 rebounds and Nolan Hickman had 4 assists. And so, yeah, it was an interesting start to the season. I've never watched an exhibition game because they're not usually, you know, broadcast.
Right. Usually they're just hidden away and you maybe even read about it. These exhibition games obviously do not count towards our record. So it is kind of nice that we could play against a team that's, you know, not someone that will just blow out, and maybe you'll get some good practice for it. But, you know, like, I guess the theme was, it was just more for charity and through the pay-per-view event, which kind of upset people because it was behind a paywall, but it is an exhibition game after all. So,
I mean, also, like you said, once we're in our actual like conference season, we don't play that many good teams. Sorry, WCC. And so, you know, at any time we can play any ranked team, it's good because it kind of shows our flaws, and I'd rather show our flaws early and during an exhibition game than in March. And so then yesterday there was another exhibition game, couldn't watch it because it was not broadcast, and it was just, you know, in Spokane. It was against Warner Pacific, which I've never heard of before.
No, never heard.
I don't know where it's at. But we won 101-70, which is more like our exhibition games that we
that's more normally like play. It.
I remember freshman year we went to the exhibition game and I think we won by over 50 points.
It's hard to be excited with that. Well, I mean,
especially as a freshman, that was like the first basketball game of, you know, your student life. You're like, this is amazing. But then by sophomore, junior, senior, you're like, it's not as fun when we're ahead by 50 points. You know, we're up by 50.
Yeah, that was a chant.
That was a chant that we did. But whatever. So we played, we beat them. Again, I don't know anything about Warner Pacific. But again, Drew Timmy was our top scorer with 21 points. And he was also our top rebounder with 8 rebounds. And then Rasir Bolton had 4 assists. So off to a pretty good start. I mean,
yeah,
just exhibition games. The first actual game of the season is going to be on Monday, November 7th against North Florida. The first like actual game that I probably will care about is the next game, November 11th. We're playing against Michigan State, and that's going to be in San Diego on the USS Abraham Lincoln. I'm kind of nervous about that one because last time we played on a military
aircraft carrier,
was in Japan. So the entire team and coaches, everyone flew to Japan. Start playing the game. It is sweaty in there. It's
the floor had so much water on it. Like it was slippery.
It was so slippery. It became dangerous. So we played half a basketball game and then they flew back from Japan back to Spokane. It was like, what, that was so far to go. Why didn't
they probably spent more time in the air than they did in Japan at that point.
Oh, for sure. They played like about 20 minutes of that game. I don't know why they did. I mean, it's cool, but they could have just played at a normal gym and it probably would have been better. But I have high hopes for this game in San Diego. Hopefully the same thing doesn't happen again. They can get through the game with Michigan State. And let's see if some other
Games worth noting is basically like that entire, there's like a 1.5 week span. Michigan State starts on the 11th of November. Then 5 days later, there's Texas. That's at Texas. So that should be interesting. Mm-hmm. And they're the number 12 seed. And then 4 days after that, so there we're home or neutral versus Kentucky.
No, it's in Spokane Arena.
Okay, so remember then we're hosting Kentucky. That's pretty cool.
Do you remember how the Kentucky coach was afraid to play in the kennel? So we're not playing in the kennel this time, but in a few years they'll play in the kennel. And they're going back and forth for, I think, 4-5 years.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And then I don't know if you want to go completely through the non-conference, but...
No, you can just go through, like, the top teams. I mean, we don't... Oregon, we don't really need to talk about.
I'll just mention in December we have a game against Baylor, which are currently number 5 seed. And mm-hmm. that was what we played them in the national championship game about 2 years ago at this point. It's worth mentioning we're playing Washington. They're not ranked, but you know, it's good
the
to
only
see.
Other time we play a team in the state. So
yeah. And then we're playing Alabama in late December, December 17th. And I believe we lost to Alabama last year, so hopefully we've gotten better.
That was Battle in Seattle.
Yeah. So we'll have to see some improvement on that, and that basically wraps up the noteworthy preseason games. We try to get a couple of high ranking teams just to boost the resume and say, look, we played against some good teams. We've won, you know, some of them, hopefully most of them or all of them, fingers crossed, just to get around the fact that we have a weak conference. But speaking of that, we might, eventually have some news for you guys around that conference.
Well, I mean, we don't know as much as the article is going to tell us, but
right.
I guess we can talk about it now. There was some recent news that Gonzaga is considering going to the Big 12 conference. This is actually the conference that BYU is moving to. Other teams include Baylor, University of Kansas State, Texas Christian, Texas Tech, West Virginia. Honestly, just bigger teams.
Yeah, than... Baylor, Kansas are the biggest names. Yeah. And like coming out of that conference, like winning it would be such a...
It would actually mean something.
It would be an accomplishment. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's fun to win all the conference games, but it would also be nice to become more prepared for March Madness, because maybe we're not winning the national championship because we just are not being challenged the whole season and constantly improving. And so I think if we are able to move to Big 12 conference or any conference, anyone who wants us.
anything. Well, actually the article did mention that we were kind of like shopping around looking for conferences.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this for years though.
Yeah. We met with a Big West conference to explore options. We Gonzaga, all Zags in the world. We mm-hmm. all did this collectively, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of funny. So Mountain West. And then of course Gonzaga met with the Big East conference. I kind of think that's kind of funny just because it's, you know, East Coast and
that. Okay, but even
quite a lot of travel time, but
Big 12 is still like mostly Texas, Kansas, yeah, like Iowa, central. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, still very far away. Yes, it would be kind of a pain for most of these teams to fly all the way to Spokane. But
oh yeah, I mean that's probably what we have to like get them to agree to, is just traveling for their away games to come all the way up to Spokane.
Yeah,
and I mean there's also a downside that we don't have you know, like football, and we're basically mainly basketball.
I know, but that's the same thing with like BYU was part of the WCC for all of their sports except for football, and then I don't remember what conference they're in for football, but like because they're the only team in the WCC that has a football team. So certain sports can join different conferences if that needs to happen.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So yeah, that would be very exciting. That
honestly is the most exciting news related to Gonzaga's chances to make the NCAA tournament, is one day we'll be playing at a stronger league.
Well, I mean, BYU is joining that conference, so that's Utah, slightly closer to Spokane. Other future members of the Big 12 that have been confirmed are University of Cincinnati, University of Houston, and University of Central Florida. So that's the farthest away you can get from Washington. A little bit
of everyone, yeah.
It's just going to become a nationwide conference at this point, it seems like. So just have one other West Coast team, and then it'd be a little better. But that's hopefully that happens, because
that would be so exciting. I would watch every single, you know, conference game.
Yeah, there's certain conference games now I'm like, nah, like Pepperdine, Portland.
Yeah, I know.
We're gonna win, so let's just skip it. Upside is an app that partners with businesses to give you cash back on everyday purchases. After downloading the app, you'll see several nearby offers for gas stations and restaurants. Claim an offer, go to the gas station or restaurant, then upload your receipt to earn cash back to cash out to your bank account or pick a gift card. Go to sasstoriessarcasm.com/upside to get 15 cents per gallon cash back the first time you use Upside to get gas. I do want to go over some of the new players that are starting this season. So there's two new transfers and then one freshman incoming. So Efton Reed is the first transfer. He is a sophomore this year. He's from Richmond, Virginia, but his most recent school was LSU. He is a center. He's 7 feet tall. And yeah, he has 3 years remaining in his eligibility. And then Malachi Smith is the other transfer. He's 6'4". He's a guard. He's a redshirt junior from Belleville, Illinois, but his most recent school was Chattanooga. And then the new freshman is Braden Huff. He is from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, and he's 6'10". And it's very exciting. Several, you know, players left last year to go. Two people transferred away, and then 5 people went to the NBA or abroad.
Right, right. And it's worth noting that the people that we got 3 people, you mentioned 3 people, 2 of the 3 were 6'10 or above, And I think that's something that we're desperately needing help.
Yes.
With. Like, we need help rebounding. We need help, you know, scoring two pointers when, if Timmy's having a rough game or gets in foul trouble. So I'm not sure how much playing time these guys will have, but at least they'll be practicing. And, you know, one of them is a red shirt, but, oh, that's the guard. But so the two tall people are going to be practicing and, you know, hopefully might, you know, get some playing time and make, you know, significant, make a significant help.
We are in need for a good big center.
Yes.
Last year, it was kind of between Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren, and Chet was just
scrawny.
He was just so skinny that it's hard for him to push people around.
Yeah, he was getting bullied sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and then unfortunately he got hurt, so he can't even play in his rookie season in the NBA.
Yeah.
Wish him all the best, but yes. Yeah, it was. I'm glad that we have some like tall, bigger people. Been needing that, I think, like the last few years, like you said.
Yeah, agreed. That is. They definitely covered one of our weaknesses. We'll just have to see them, you know, be subbed in when they need to be.
Yeah.
So, yes.
But yeah, I think that's all we have for this week. Very excited about Gonzaga basketball being back. Been waiting for this since April. Like, I think we said that in April when we lost.
Yep, and we started the countdown.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the sun going down early make it worth it, because it's like, okay, at least we can watch a basketball game.
There you go.
Especially when it's against a team that, you know, we actually have to challenge ourselves.
Yeah, yes. The non-conference games, there should be some pretty good ones that we mentioned. Yeah.
Especially excited for Kentucky.
Yes.
But yeah, anything else, Brian?
I hope everyone had a great Halloween. I don't know if I mentioned this, but...
Oh, yeah, you forgot to mention what you did.
Yes, yes. I'll just mention this briefly. We had an office party, and we are all basically supposed to dress up. And one of my immediate developers, we decided to dress up as our team mascot, and we are the Fainting Goats. I don't know why it's called that. I was just, you know,
there's a gelato shop in, there's, I think, several gelato shops around Seattle called Fainting Goat.
Oh, gelato. maybe that is the origin, but I'm not sure exactly. Every now and then we have a reorg, and I got put on this team, so I was now a Fainting Goat, and I decided to come in with a goat mask, but everyone else chickened out and wore some random regular Halloween costume. Like, there was one dressed up as Ursula, there was one dressed up as like an Indian princess, there was one dressed up as Cat in the Hat, but nope, I was just there with my dress clothes on with a big goat mask.
Okay, but let's talk about the goat mask, because you got it, yes. I think, last Thursday or Friday, and you were like,
It was over the weekend.
Saturday.
Yeah, and it was over the weekend.
And I was like, bring it over. I want to see it. And then you went to your mailbox to get it from, you know, Amazon. Mm-hmm. And you're like, there's no eye holes. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And indeed, there was no eye holes.
Yeah, they didn't give you eye holes. Like, the eyes they colored in, like, it was part of the plastic mask. You could not see through it because it was just, they just colored in the eyes.
Basically. And I was like, no problem. I'll just cut out the eyes and then you'll be able to see. So I did that. But then, you know, you put on the mask and you're like, there's still a problem, because this mask is shaped like a goat's head. And so, you know, goat's eyes are not the same distance apart as human eyes.
Right.
They're kind of on the sides of their head more. So you still couldn't see anything.
Yeah, the eye holes were like in between my eyes and like a little bit above my ears. So basically like where my hairline started. So I'm like, oh, you definitely can't see out of that. So yeah. you came to the rescue. You cut the eye holes out, and then I realized if I squished the mask together, then I could finally see, but that didn't really look right.
Yeah.
And the horns weren't as inflated as
possible. They were floppy.
They were floppy, so they weren't standing up for pictures. So, you know, you and your crafting self decided to get some unused toilet paper roll.
No, used toilet paper
rolls. There's no toilet paper left.
Yeah.
Like, just the toilet paper rolls, and scrunch them into the horns. The horns stood up straight. Luckily, they didn't fall out when I went into work. But when it came to take a picture, you know, I still couldn't see. So I just had to put the mask on and hope for the best. And the person with the camera was like moving around a lot. So there's a picture of me like looking like like 30 degrees off of where the camera is, so I'm not looking straight on, which is actually better because now you get like the full vision of the goat, because if I look straight on, you probably wouldn't see the full thing because the eyes are like poking out of the side. So it was actually lucky, but I really had no idea where the camera person was at that moment. I was just hoping that I didn't like trip over someone that was, you know, kneeling for a picture in front of me, because I did not know where they were and I had a mask on and I could not see anything. But luckily,
are you gonna be a goat in the future, or are you, what are you gonna do with the mask?
Well, it's still in my office, one of my desk drawers. So, I mean, there's no use for it at home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's occupying one of the desk drawers, and maybe I might need to find another reason to break it out. But if
there is no reason.
Yeah, I don't think there is. But if anyone needs a goat mask in my office, I'll be ready.
You cannot move in this mask though, because you will trip over something or fall. And
yeah,
but the thing is, I was like, that's so weird. There's got to be a better goat mask out there. Like, obviously, you're not trying to spend a lot of money on a goat mask. But when I cut out the eye holes and that still didn't work, I was like, let me look on Amazon. I bet I can find something. No, any mask that you can find on the internet, there's no eye holes, or if, you know, if there are and you cut out the eyes, like, they're still too far apart. These people are making the masks too realistic that it doesn't even work for a human.
Yeah. And I think I got it from a site that was like creepymasks.com.
Oh, you didn't get it from Amazon?
No. Seller. That was the seller through Amazon. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it is creepy if you can't see out of it and it looks so lifelike that you actually look like a half person, half goat.
Yeah.
So yes.
But your team did appreciate it though.
Yes, they all loved it. They're like, wow, you showed dedication.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't realize that, you know, no one else had dressed up as a goat in your office. So I was like, send me a picture when you have one. And you hadn't told me that you were the only person that dressed up as a goat. So yeah, then you send me the picture and I'm like, wait, no one else is dressed up as a goat though. And you're like, yeah, no one else did it. I'm like,
yeah. I mean, there is supposed to like some of them were supposed to come in like onesies that were like, looked like a goat basically, like had like a goat as like a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
But none of them decided to do it. And I was just the only goat there. So
oh boy, you are the team mascot now.
Yeah, I guess so, but they all loved it, so it was fun.
Yeah. Anyways, hope everyone had a good Halloween and have a good rest of your week. Bye.
Bye.